everybody, and welcome to another episode of Travels, Things and Cities, Viaggi, Cosi and Città. I'm very happy to welcome you here, guys, because it's been a long time, you know, see. And with me today, we have our lovely guest, Melanie, who I had the pleasure to have another podcast with. Well, I had the pleasure to interview some months ago. So if you did hear to that podcast, go and listen to it. And welcome, Melanie.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you here. So this time we are going to talk about the differences between north and south of England. And I'm going to do a very little introduction because I had to study North and South by Elizabeth Caskill at university. Yeah. So I was focusing on all the differences between industrial north, the very posh and rich south. But that was the 1855.
Exactly.
Sort of. So with your useful help, we are going to analyze different areas of the UK, mainly
the difference between the north and the south, generalizing obviously, because one must when doing these kinds of things.
And I think it's going to be it's a great idea if we start from the historical perspective. So we said that the north was very industrial, whereas the south was very focused on political and maintaining international recognition across states. So what would you like to shed some light on this topic?
Well, in my small knowledge, as you say, in Elizabeth Gaskell's book, that's when the big industries were all up north, the shipping, the mills, the mining. And then slowly in the 70s and 80s, obviously everything was shut down. The coal industry obviously being the main one, which I remember in my lifetime.
You are very, very, very young.
Because I'm so old. I remember the miners' strikes, and that was the last big northern industry, was the coal. And they shut down, depending on how you look at it. Where, during Margaret Thatcher's reign in the 80s. And so there was mass unemployment. And there still is this big
difference
in employment. And then a lot of skilled people move down south now to have a career because that's where the main careers are. And most of the London services are, you know, thriving, and so London still is.
Especially if we know that London has become a very important financial centre.
Exactly.
At least it was. I don't know, after Brexit.
Before Brexit,
I don't know.
Oh, nothing's changed.
No. So, no. And that is quite, as you can see, I think the same divarium can be seen in Italy as well. So whereas the north is more industrialised with a lot of working possibilities, whereas the south, where the politics is mainly centered in. And what about instead the geographical differences? So what if a little girl is born in, I don't know, in the north, next, not far away from Newcastle, and she has to decide where to go to spend her holiday? So what kind of beaches or attractions?
Well, I can tell you about the coast of the northeast, which is where I grew up and where my heart still is.
Oh, poetic.
The northeast coast is beautiful. So we're talking Yorkshire. And the beaches and the coastline is actually stunning. People, you won't believe it unless you see it. You think you're in another country with sand dunes, and it's just stunning, with red rock rolling into the sea. And we talked about it last time, the difference between the Italian beaches and the English beaches. So I won't repeat myself, but they're very wild and raw. And then I can talk about the south coast with, you know, Brighton, Eastbourne.
Yeah.
And it's all pebbles.
Ah.
I can't remember the posh word for that kind of beach.
Any suggestions? Pebbles.
Anyway, so they're pebbly beaches.
Because I know that there are some very famous ones, like Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Yeah. And then there is Portsmouth, and then
Dover, Calais.
Let's get back to Dover to Calais.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the south coast, exactly, going into Devon, Cornwall, which is, again, this is where you see the big north-south divide because it's a very wealthy area and people with money go on holiday there. And it is beautiful, absolutely stunning.
But what do you think it's peculiar? So in comparison to what we are used to Italy, what do you say it's... are you talking about warm waters or attractions on the beach? Or
No, there's no warm waters. No. You put your wetsuit on and you get on with it. On the south coast, there is a lot of surfing.
Yeah,
there's more sports, water sports. Yeah, I know that. Stunning beaches everywhere. Britain's beautiful. The coastline is stunning. But going back to the north-south divide, the money is all down in the south. So you spend a lot more if you go on holiday in the south.
So do you think this is also determined by a political point of view? From geopolitical sort of preferences?
No, mostly because of the unemployment up there. So much more money is invested in the south because that's where the, as you say, the services and the financial centre of Europe is in London. And the comunes, the local councils, receive a lot more money, literally, than the councils up north. And so it's a massive problem. So mental health, crime, drinking. And so, yeah, I think it's all connected.
So you can see it, one of, maybe, as you said, one of the best or the most important factor is unemployment. And after that, a lot of consequences.
Unemployment. And so, yeah, health issues, lots of drinking. And not that nothing's invested up there because... You know,
so that's a call for investors. Please go back to the north.
To the beautiful, beautiful north of England. I mean, there are cities, but again, they just receive less money from Westminster.
I understand. And what about instead, so we talked about it very briefly, the historical point of view, geographical point of view, as also the weather. I think it's very cold in the north, whereas in the
south. Yeah, it does get colder the further north you go. So I'm sure it all plays part in it. As far as culture goes, the north has a stronger identity. The men are completely different. They have a much harder masculine
attitude.
Yeah, so
memories of youth.
Whereas the south has been very sort of
relaxed.
They don't
smooth.
They show their emotions more. There's that sort of different cultural thing in males. The northern man doesn't really show his emotion. This ties into the alcohol problem and mental health problem as well up north. Because a northern man generally would not talk about his problems as much. I mean, it's all tied in, it's all connected. But I love the north. The northerners have a much stronger identity. They're still, I mean, they're holding on with their fingers, but there is a stronger pride in their identity up north.
Maybe a wider sense of belonging to a community.
Belonging to a community, and there's some kind of bonding in the suffering and poverty that bonds people. And so there's a kind of a stronger identity of like, I'm a northerner and I'm bloody proud of it.
And as you said, I am well aware that there are a lot of differences also in accent and the way people speak. So would you like to illustrate us?
Well, I love it. I mean, I think the main differences is the vowel A. For example, grass. And up north it becomes short. It's grass.
Grass.
Yeah. Pass. Yeah. And then the letter U is the most famous one probably. Down south they have the vowel sound like mom, fun, whereas up north it's fun, mum.
But,
aye. They don't have that vowel sound of
So also the language is stronger, probably for tougher character.
They also simplify things as well, like the article determinativa, the, is hardly ever used up north.
Oh,
like
really?
Instead of, I am going to the pub, it's, I'm going to pub. They'll take out, taking rubbish out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the rubbish out.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's simplified. And then, of course, there's actual words that are different. Can't think of any at the moment, but
so like your sister, she was mentioning lass, probably.
Oh yeah, boy and girl.
Mm-hmm.
Lad and lass. Oh, lovely lass. Oh, she's a lovely lass. Oh, she's a lovely girl.
Mm-hmm. It's completely different.
It is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something in that poverty and I don't know, cynicism. It's the wine you made me drink.
Yes, of course. Helps.
I think there's an authenticity up north.
Mm-hmm. But do you think there is also is it also portrayed in the culture?
Yeah, I think generally for me when I go up north I find that the people are more open and friendly, more direct and humble. Whereas down south, there's a colder
attitude.
Energy, mm-hmm. Yeah. But then maybe some people who are used to the south could find the northerners rude because they'll, for example, if you go into a shop, they'll say, all right, darling, all right, love, chuck. And some people might find like, oh, hello, you don't know me.
Too straightforward.
Don't call me amore, per dire, ciao amore, that kind of thing. So it depends on how you look at it. I personally love it and I feel, yeah.
More comfortable.
I'm a northern girl at heart, definitely.
Because you were born in the north but then you moved to the south.
No, actually.
Oh, you were born
other way around.
Ah.
I was born in London and then when I was 5, we moved up north. So I went to school up north.
Ah, okay.
Aye. But then I went down when I was 13, I went to ballet school. So I lost my accent.
Or maybe they made you lose your accent.
Well, I did drama and all that business.
So you had to
be
able to play with your voice.
But it's a beautiful accent. It's humble and it's friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And people are very warm.
Yeah, also because I am training children for their certificate. And
right.
Various Cambridge certificate. And also, when I was young, I remember when we did the listening test, we had only PR standard accent. Whereas now it's possible to hear Scottish accent or Northern accent or Welsh accent, which I think is very inclusive.
It
helps everyone to feel comfortable and represented, appreciated.
It's the same on the TV now as well. Before, on the BBC, you would only have the people that present the programmes would be called BBC English.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll have... It's trendy to have a Liverpudlian or a Northerner or a Scottish voice, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then down south, London is such a multicultural city. It's completely changed. It's created a completely different language now, which we won't go into.
And the last thing maybe it's worth mentioning, what about food? Because we forgot.
Oh, aye. There's a couple of things from up north that you can't get down south.
Mm-hmm. For example,
curd cake. I love it. It's like ricotta cheese. It's a sweet cake with raisins, and you can't get that down south. I love northern beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Why? Is it bitter?
You get darker ales. Yeah. Obviously, you've got your Irish and your Scottish beers that are more famous, and you have them here in Italy as well, like obviously Guinness and stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of beer comes from up north and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous. Fish and chips is better up north, I'm convinced. But that could be biased because I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. But I was told many times, but a lot of people also coming from the north, so it's let's say it's a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Fish is cheap. And also mashed peas is something
mushy
that you,
peas, mushy peas. Mushy peas if you're from up north, or mushy peas if you're from south. Absolutely gorgeous. All it is peas sort of mushed a little bit. Sometimes if it's a posh restaurant, they'll put a bit of mint in it.
Mint?
Yes, ah. Really nice.
I would like to try it out. Yeah. And also scones, I remember.
Scones or scones. Scones or scones, that's up to you. I don't know what the correct one is. I think it's a personal choice, nothing to do with North or South Divide. Obviously, the Yorkshire pudding, which mm-hmm. obviously traditionally came from Yorkshire, but now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a Yorkshire pudding
yeah,
is,
yeah,
our
tried
Rachel?
It, yeah.
Good lass.
Of course.
How would you describe a Yorkshire pudding?
It's like a sort of... That's the good thing. Mm. It's like... Ganache, something that
traditionally it was to use up your flour and milk and eggs from the week, and on a Sunday you would use up those ingredients to get your fresh ones the next week. So it's basically a batter, mm-hmm. which is milk and flour and egg, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you put it into an oven, and so it's just like a little pancake, really,
yeah,
isn't
maybe.
It? A savoury pancake.
Sort of pancake, a savoury one, yeah.
And it goes well with your meat and your vegetables for your Sunday lunch.
Yeah. We should try to cook it next time we have a lunch together.
It's not easy to get it right.
I mean, the ingredients are just three, so it couldn't be that.
Ah, well, that doesn't mean anything. Mm. You can get it wrong.
It couldn't be so difficult.
Because it has to rise perfectly in the oven.
Like the king's crown rise and shine.
Exactly.
Okay. Would you like to add anything more? Or I think that we cover more of the
I think that's
the aspect.
It. I think every country has its north and south. Where would you say the more open, friendlier is? Is it in North Italy or in South? It's kind of the opposite way
here,
would you
say? Yeah,
it's kind
of the opposite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would go for the opposite, because maybe it's because of warmer weather. So also in the south, people tend to be warmer and touchy, whereas in the north we tend
more
to
tactile.
Be
more tactile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously money at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's all about money. Hopefully not.
Money, money, money. Must be funny in a rich man's world.
So thank you very much, guys, for joining us in today's episode. Thank you very much, Melanie, for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Rachel.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
And thank you for being with us. If you want to listen to all the other episodes in English as well in Italian, you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Please leave a review and share it with friends and foes. I will see you very soon for another episode of Travels, Things and Cities. Bye!